Accession number 14976, Joseph Weir, Reel 4.
Mr. Weir, Reel 4. What was the food like on board the ship, Mr. Weir?
Most of it was very good, except the first day we just had boiled eggs. That was to stop as many as people getting, so we were told. But we were eating about a dozen eggs. But the food was quite nice, you know. But I can't remember how it was actually served. I don't know. I can't remember how it was served. But I know when you went up and you seen the sergeants, and they all living the life of Riley, and the officers were above getting in the first class, and it was, you know, they were having a holiday. But we had no trouble going out. I mean, and we pulled into Freetown, where the banana boats were downstairs and calling us all the names under the sun, you know. And it was marvellous what holding you. You all Geordies, you go. They knew where we were going on, we did. And the lion bastards and all that all came over from the people in the boats. And as I say, we hadn't been long at sea when we got the dreadful news that the HMH Hoods had been sank. And overnight, all our support group except HMS Exeter had left. There was just HMS Exeter left. Well, she had a walrus plane for torpedo use for our defence. They went up this afternoon and they were given a demonstration. She crash landed in the sea. That was the last of the walrus. That was the last plane we had, so we had no plane. We just had the Exeter.
Was the pilot killed?
Well, we never heard actually, but I think he must have just went down with the plane because he was miles in between and there was nothing, and it was fairly rough and that, you know, and that was it.
Did you have drills to do on the ship?
There was people doing drills, but we were on the course.
Did you have drills for getting off the ship if anything happened, you know?
Yes. Oh, you had your places you had to go to, emergency. You had your place to go to, you know.
And did they do that regularly too?
Quite often, yes. Yes, you knew automatic, you know. And I mean, you had all the facilities on the ship because it was a first class ship. I mean, it was known as a drunken duchess, by the way. And it took some getting used to hearing the squeaks and the squawks of it's going along, you know. But everything was all right, you know. You could get a bath when you wanted. You know, plenty saltwater bath. You could get a bath when you wanted.
Was there a canteen on board?
Canteen on board, and that was where we started getting our cigarette issue. 50 tin of players, the round tins. Or maybe being a non-smoker, it was just used for gambling with. just for playing cards with. Then he used to sell them after that, you know. But I remember the lads all saying they were first-class cigarettes you got on the ration.
You mentioned there that you gambled. Was that legal in the army? Were you allowed to gamble?
You were playing for cigarettes. There was only one gamble allowed in the army, wasn't there? That was lottery. That was bingo. You know, when the sergeant used to run it, well, they were getting the SF. When you were playing for money, it was bingo. What was it called? Lotto, they called it then?
Housey-housey?
No, they called it lotto, I think they called it. A four housey-housey. But that was it. But we used to play for cigarettes. I mean, all during the war. Up in the desert, we were the same, playing for cigarettes. And if I won, and I used to want to smoke, they should buy the cigarettes off me. And I would get sweets off them for the things like that.
What other leisure time activities had you on ship? Because it was a long journey. It must have been quite
boring.
There
was boxing tournaments on. We had the crossing the line. You know,
what happened that day?
Well, there was a big, so many got shaved, you know, and thrown in the water, and was it Neptune was there with that, and that was, yes, and Yes.
Did you get involved in that? Were you caught on that one?
No, I wasn't caught on that one.
I was going to ask how the non-swimmers do thrown into the
I don't know how they picked them, but they were there. But it was good. Then there was the boxing tournament, you know. And it was real experience. And, you know, there was watching the dolphins and that, you know, and doing your washing. Long line over the deck. And just held on a few minutes in a week when the company I washing was spotlessly clean. It didn't take long to dry. I had to just lay them on the deck. So that was marvellous to do your washing. And, there was nothing spectacular after that.
Other than your signalling training, did you have any duties on board the ship?
I didn't get any. But I'll tell you in a minute, I suffered for it. When we got round and some ships went to Johannesburg and we went round to Durban. We pulled into Durban. Ah, yes, the ones that had been on the signal course on duty and guard at the bottom of the flank. So that was their punishment straight away. All the lads was going ashore and you were at the bottom of the gangplank. You know, so that paid for that day.
Now, we were in Durban a few days.
3 days. The next day, we went out in the afternoon. And there was women and men asking if anybody wanted to go out to Eskom in the country. Well, we walked past them and said, no, we're going down here. We're going to have a drink and that. But Jane Romaine went back. So we're taken on a train to Eskom. We got off at Eskom. And we were put off to different families. And this young couple with Scottish ancestry took us to the home, which was a mansion as far as we were concerned. Met at the door by the black servants, who immediately took our boots off and gave us and put slippers on our feet. Well, you know, for us to get waited on like that. And we said, no, just leave it. And God, he does that. And we had a nice drink or two with them. We didn't have a meal, and which was surprised us, because we thought we'd had a meal. Later on, we went, at the evening, we went to a great big hall, and there was the meal there, from the whole village. After the meal, we got a slip of paper with a name on. Well, mine had Punch, so I had to find Judy for my partner for the night. So I got this beautiful girl for the night, you know, and we're dancing, on stage singing. Singing Home Sweet Home on stage in Durban, that was me. And so we had a real good night. And I all remember trying to describe to this girl what snow was like coming down. Because they had never seen snow, and ours seemed like soap flakes. She said, well, how does it come down? How does it get? Well, seeing you wouldn't much of me, I didn't know I got there. And, but that was the sad day. A great night. Then we got the train back, and we're back on board. Sunday came and we had arranged to meet these girls. I got stopped on the gangplank again. Got again. The ones that was on, so two shore leaves I lost. And I didn't, another lad met the girls, and of course this girl was stranded, and I presume she was called his name for not turning up, but all those lads went on the desert. They got parcels sent up every month from these girls. They all got parcels, lovely parcels, mine, and of course we used to get a share of them, you know, but I never got my own parcel. That was it. So it was then, so we had seen what the blacks were treated like.
Did that surprise you?
The way the black eyed, yes. I mean, we had never come across that before, you know, when they had to put our boots on and off and tie them, and they had the brushes down. Then when we come to sailing, there was some Indians put on board. So they came on board, and they were just sitting on the decks. I don't know where they slept, I think. But then there was some South Africans come to go on board. And of course, they walked straight off as soon as they seen the Indians. And that was what drew our attention, what's all this about. They wouldn't get on the ship, and they never did get on the ship. And
these were Indian troops.
Indian troops, yes. And the Indian troops, you know, they're making our chapati things on the deck. men in watches, selling your watches, and there was no inside in them. But they were doing that all the journey. I mean, we mixed with them, but the South Africans wouldn't get on the same boat. That night, when I was on guard duty on the night, Merchant Navy officer went past, Royal Navy officer went past, and just passed, and he was from the Barham, but it was just after that the Barham was sank as well. He was, well, a month after that, but he went down with the Barham. So that was that, and it was, I don't think it was any more events.
Were there any ceremonies when you were in Durban? Did you have a march of any kind, or parade, or?
We did, no, you couldn't think of it. We did, that's the first time we had all, that was where we had a drill on the boat, before we got off the boat, off the ship rather, and we had to be in our TD dress with a topi, but we had to keep the topi in his bag while it was on my head. You can imagine what it looked like. But Polly Watson, he says it was to keep the hats clean, so there were, you know, when they got up and Durban, the hats were clean. Yes, they did march through. We did march through Durban. Yes, forget about that. So we went up, and
conditions now would be very hot on board, would they not?
Yes, but mean, remember we had 6 or 7 weeks, and we were used to it. We were used to it, you know, and we got into Egypt. When?
And no problems or anything of that nature going up the Red Sea?
No bother then, no. July will arrive in Egypt, beginning of July. Then.
What are your memories of arriving in Egypt itself?
Well, we knew in 2 days, because every man had dysentery. We had never, you know. Some of the men also, yes, they knew, you know, but the city and all these crawlies, you know, oh dear me, it was terrible. I mean, and of course, something new to us then was getting a cup of tea first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. You know, the charwallas bring the tea around in the morning, and the charwallas are doing your washing for a couple of coins, you know. Of course, as I say, the regulars were used to that. I mean,
where did you land?
Portside. Mm-hmm. Is that the right way to end? Is that the right wind? Portside one
side. Port Suez.
Port Suez, sorry.
And how did you get off the boat?
Pull right in, yes. And
what was your first impressions of Egypt?
Yeah, dear me, I don't know, you're asking. I couldn't think better, probably, yeah.
You know, the people that you saw.
Well, we didn't see many
conditions.
People. No, and I mean, we went straight. Well, it would be round Ismailia, I think we would be then, wouldn't we? And then it was just sand, you know. Sand and also more sand, as far as you could see. You know.
And what were you in, tents or?
Wind tents, yes. Wind tents there, yes. I said, and such an awful lot of men. Within 2 days, the whole lot was ill. The whole lot. And
Were you ill?
Oh, yes. it was terrible. I mean,
how would you cope with that illness? It is rather difficult.
I don't know how you cope. I mean, you're sitting on the back of lorries. You're sitting on your lorries at the back, and you've just got to pull your pants on and throw it over the side of the lorry, and there's nothing can stop you. Nobody takes any notice. Did it first, but the locals. If you pass the locals, they didn't worry, did you? But it was such an awful feeling. I mean, I remember going to the doctor, you know, and he says, "Oh well, I forget what to give you." It like, you know, but they you got medicine, but it was an awful feeling. And some lads had carried on right into the Cyprus, you know. But I think I just had the one dose, but I knew it was just an awful feeling. Mm-hmm.
How long were you in Egypt?
Roughly 2 months, took 3 months. Then we were just doing training, just doing exercise, and a little bit training, a little bit signalling it again, you know. And then we went to Cyprus. Well, I think we were the first troops on Cyprus. And we had when we got off Cyprus, you know. We all remember Cyprus. We landed at Famagusta. We all got a cup of tea and a rice bun. Everybody got, and it looked a beautiful country, but we had been warned that it was the dirtiest country for sex, you know, the island of love, but it was, they said it was love other way, but anyway, and we were at Larnaca and Limassol, and we were digging defences facing the sea, and we were, there was the salt hills behind, and we were on the salt hills. And when I went to swim, that was when we first seen the clear, clear water. I thought, oh, fantastic. You could throw a cord up and dive to get, you know, it was marvellous. Marvellous it was. And then we moved inland into the groove. And why we're in that position? I don't know. That's just the wind. It's the front door. So
we're in Cyprus.
We'd moved in the country, and I don't know particularly why we're in that bit part of the country, but after the way what was happening, we were picking up, taking everything, and moved to another part of the island, and we'd get great welcome from these Tommies people, you know, more Tommies, but then the Tommies might move back to where they were, then we'd go to another village, and it was, personally, it was to make them think there was a lot of people there, and there wasn't. I mean, and we had such a nice camp, and you know, the big whales with the donkey going round, the farmer whose field we're in, he cleaned the well out, made out a swimming pool for us. You know, it was great. I took tonsillitis there, finished up in Nicosia Hospital. Convalescent, went up to the top of the mountain. The called the mountain in there?
Trudas,
top of Trudas, to the camps of Trudas. And I had 3 weeks up there, convalescent. It was fantastic. And it was bitterly cold up there. It was red hot down there, it was bitterly cold. We had cabins that their own soldiers had been using, the Greek soldiers had been using. And we used to burn the nuts and that off the trees. And good up there. And so I came back, and then I went on telephone. That's when I got into this section, and I started doing telephone. And I was on the telephone in Nicosia itself for a while, you know. And we had to take our turns of being on that exchange. And
what kind of communications were you getting into the telephone exchange? What the kind of things you were dealing with?
Well, just the military. Just the military messages, and I mean, if there'd been anything secret, I don't think we would have been on. You know, there would have been other people on. You know,
how did you find the Cypriots?
Well, as I say, this farmer even made his. You know, they were very good, and we used to go to Larnaca and Limassol. We could go in there and went to Larnaca, and that of course was out of bounds. Of course, that meant the British troops were straight there to see what was going on. And they had to go at that bubble pipe, you know. But then the woman was sitting up the window. Me got yellow card, George, that was to say they were clean. And the most beautiful place was Kyrene, which is the other side of the island, which you can't go to now. They used to take us out there for a day and got in the sea there at Kyrene, but it was. And it was honestly the first time in my life that a big sweet cake was more cream than anything that I was given a fork to, because I'd never been used to that. You know, but it was, you know, it was something I've always remembered. That's where I had my first fork.
Was VD a problem amongst the troops on the island?
Well, they were warned off. I mean, you got your precautions pack before you went on the island, you know, and I mean, that was up to you. I don't know if there was much went on, but there was nobody around me that caught that I knew of. None.
Was it an offence to catch VD in the army?
It was, wasn't it? I don't think. Well, there might have been some, but you know, but there was nobody round about the area I was in. You know, it must have been a good set of lads. Mind the word, because I mean, the little tents then, and we'd just have a sing along, and all the tents used to join in, if you see. And because I, those days, I could put a falsetto voice on, you know, and used to set them on. that is actually where I joined the single section, that spell in Cyprus.
This would be after your training.
I must have had enough passes to get in, you know. And but there were great set of lads, and there again there was the ones that had been in France, and there was the ones that had joined the same time as me, and some lads from the Argyle Sunderland lads, but at heart were still Argyles, you know. They hated our hat, you know, because they liked the very. As I say, that we all went and we made a good crowd of lads, and Cyprus was a holiday, you know, it was a holiday as far as we were concerned.
But you've been seeing things you'd never seen in Russian Britain,
and seeing the Mediterranean and things like that, you know, swimming was beautiful.
You said it was a good set of lads, and presumably the discipline of the battalion or the brigade even was. Mm-hmm. Was good.
Yeah, well, I think so. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd love to meet up with some more of them. You know, I've seen the regular ones that turn up every year. But now and again you find there's an extra one turns up. But some of these lads, you know, we did try to contact one of the Scottish lads, and I had address in my house all the time. He said Ninian's Level Cross in Stirling, and I wrote to him. He had just died. And I should have done a couple of years, of course, that was when I joined the branch, you know, and I got interested in it. So that was anyhow. But then we did very well there. And of course, our next person was where nobody ever knew we were. Iraq. Northern Iraq. And so the orders before we went to Baghdad were steel helmets, rifle and bayonets, and look tough.
We'll come to that. You would leave, how long were you on Cyprus?
September, Cyprus, November, to Iraq.
Do you recall the journey to...
Well, it was on the destroyer. You know, we were just sitting on the deck. It was no... Except we were jealous of the white bread that they had. It was great big loaves of white bread. We had good food on the ship. I did just know the name of the destroyer, but I can't remember that now. But then, of course, I mean, it's meant to stop at Palestine for one night or something like that, you know. It must be more money, because the next day they were going swimming, and I had to be patrolled. Who can swim? And I could swim about 10 yards. Me? Well, your beach patrol. So I was there 2 days, and I could do nothing. But then went up to Iraq, and it was hell.
Can you take me through the journey, or your memories of the journey from Palestine to Iraq?
Well, I mean, there again, you went through the big desert, the northern desert, you know, and the whole brigade were going over together. As you would convoy and see, you know, you spread out that much. And that's where an awful lot of men learned how to drive, because you're going for miles and miles, just going straight forward, and everybody's taking a turn to drive. And we're just pulling oil chains. I don't know how they found that road, but we must have just been, but we went up, and it was all barren land, you know. Went through Baghdad.
Did you have any problems at all with the transportation?
Transport would have then. No, we had good transport then, because it was our own transport. It was our own transport. We're taken out with this. We lost that later. We had good transport. And
would set off early morning, presumably, and drove a distance. Did you stop for lunch, or did you have breaks in between?
Well, we just had brew ups. No, they're just stopping for brew ups. I think we kept going all the time. I'm not sure, I wouldn't like to see it. I can't remember stopping in the desert at night. But it was an awful barren place. And the sea then went, saw the oil rigs, the oil wells at Kirkuk, then went high up towards Mosul. And we were supposed to dig defences. The engineers couldn't blast holes in. And the thing happened to me there. On New Year's Eve, I was in the head company, the battalion headquarters tent with Ken Bramble. Did you meet? Ever meet Ken? He was the orderly room sergeant from Bishop Auckland's Barney Castle. And Switchboard was there, and you were allowed to rest, but there was alarm if anybody rang. Well, I remember the signal officer's name now, Lieutenant Hulse, and he came rushing in, and he said, "You're on a charge," he said, "not answering the phone." I said, "The bell hasn't rang." I could hear the bell miles away. So I was on a charge. I got put on a charge in New Year's morning. And Ken Bramble says, "I didn't hear the phone ring," and him and I was sitting together. That officer messed about with that bell all the time we were in the desert. He never got it to ring yet. Every time I saw him, I says, "You got it to ring yet, sir?" And he goes, "He never got it to ring again." But he got me a turn of digging, trying to dig latrines. And that was the day I was supposed to go to the Mosul. You know, some of the lads put peers in the Mosul. My dear, no, you had to get holes instead. But the weather was atrocious. And we're on Indian rations, because we're attached to an Indian David at that time. We got right for breakfast, right for lunch, right for just rice, nothing else but rice. Except for Christmas Day. They said they were turkeys, but I think they were chickens. Because I was on the squad that got sent into Baghdad to pick these turkeys up. And we had to pluck them. We're sitting in the back of the lorry, just plucking them. And the thing happened there, which is a million to one chance. I'm sitting at the back, we're past this soldier. And I looked at him, and I just looked at his figure. I says, "Is that Sergeant Brennan? Who the hell are you?" You know? I says, Stop the truck, and he goes, "Show me what you're doing." And this was a lad who used to work with me at Bladen, but there had been regular army, so he was called up soon. Now he was quartermaster in the 9th Battalion, and he had been down to get the turkeys for them, but nasty, he had been looking for the brothel. And he was coming up with a ruin of chance of that. You know, million to one chance. And we'll give him a lift up the road, anyhow. And so that was Dick. And we went up, and I see it was snow, you know, and you were sleeping in tents. You know, Boy Scout tents in that weather. But you could sleep with your clothes on, and you could cuddle into another to keep warm. We had a little charcoal fire in the middle of the tent. Of course, Nazi, the next morning you're like niggers. But yeah, your toilet, you just filled the tin and flung it outside, you know, and the sun was shining then, and it used to stink something awful. It was awful. And one of the big things, one morning, the bugler was blowing the valley, and somebody fired a shot, and the bugler stopped halfway through, and everybody says, "Somebody shot the bugler." You hear the jokes about it, but that was it. And it was somebody had escaped out of the jail. He had been in, and he got it, and all came. So nothing sort of happened to Iraq, and the mind will make a piece to get away from that.
The winter was pretty bad, of course. How were you fed? How was your food cooked in such conditions?
Well, they had the, you know, the good old Bowen cooks had, you know. Well, was it stoves I had? I think fires. I wouldn't say how to cook them, but it was, you know, the big. You went up and you got your rice. And there was sometimes it had sultanas in, and sometimes it had muck in, because it was Indian rice. It wasn't clean rice. It was dirty rice, and there was nothing else you could get.